The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go.
I support the woke agenda. Smiley piercings are now mandatory. Pronouns for everyone. We will move the U.S. Capitol to Oakland, California. Take that, nerds. The whole world has been mobbed. While you were gesture-gooning, we were woke-maxing. Universal health care and free abortion for all. Tax-mocking the billionaires. Government-sanctioned sideshows on every freeway in America. Being straight is now illegal. We will extend BART nationwide. Hope you enjoy decent public transit, red state degenerates. You will listen to Krayshawn. You will eat the Hyphy Burger. You will have non-binary roommates. You will love your immigrant neighbors. Just let the woke consume you, babe. Go ahead. Get those micro-bangs. Just put the pronouns in bio, little bro. I'm hella woke now. You feel me?
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm sick, so I'm very sleepy, but that's okay.
I'm so sorry that you're sick. It is that time of year. We had spring in Sofia for like a beautiful, glorious week, and now we're back in second winter, and it's miserable. So I get it.
The weather knew that we had a second or third Winter Olympics episode to go.
And the weather's like, it's winter still. Yeah, we're going to reverse back to...
It's our fault. We're the groundhogs. And until we finish our Olympics coverage, it's always winter.
Well, there we go. This is the one. This is the one we have processed. We have thought about it. We have accepted the woke agenda as our Lord and Savior. And we are here to talk about women. We're here to talk about what Wikipedia calls figure skating at the 2026 Winter Olympics - women's singles, which feels so official.
But in my area?
Women's singles in my area. I wish.
They want to meet me. I don't know what to tell you.
So here's the thing. Let's just jump straight into it. If for the people who are listening to this, they already know what the deal is. They've seen it. It's been a month, and we're finally ready to talk about it. And we're just gonna approach this as if it's a regular old podium and a regular old episode. We're just gonna talk about it, and we're gonna see how that goes.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's how things went down. First of all, women mend a little bit, a lot of bit. Women happened, and we love that it was exciting, and it was frankly some of the most fun I've had personally watching an event in a very long time. But there was some dramatic movement around, honestly, most of the 24 that made it into the free. Not like we didn't have anyone climbing from 24th into first, but damn near close. So here's how this happened. Amina Kai is now an Olympic bronze medalist. How does that sound to you?
I mean, it's good. I would have preferred a couple different people, maybe, yeah. Just based on having longer relationships with them and more memories. But that's okay.
I agree. I think we talked about this a little bit in the men's episode as well. I don't like the idea of like paying your dues or like waiting your turn and stuff like that, because if you're good, you're good, and that's that on that. But it kind of sucks when you know that it's probably some other people's like last Olympics or like the only Olympics they're ever gonna get, and then someone who's so young and so promising like just does it right out the gate. However, I will say this, and I'm sorry if I'm a hater, there was a very brief moment where she could have just won the whole thing. And as much as I love her promise and I think she's darling and adorable, I'm a little bit relieved that that did not happen.
Oh, yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I think, like, after the short program, she was in first and it didn't feel right, per se. I don't know. I think, like,
I am kind of with you on like feeling like she's just too new to the seniors, and when we have such like a storied emotional attachment to the Team Japan women in particular, it feels difficult to then just throw someone new in the mix and be like, and by the way, they're getting a lot of screen time now.
So
it felt like a little incongruous in that way, but like I'm not here to say whether it was like actually warranted points wise, because I'm not a judge, and honestly, like my vision isn't that good. If it's good, I'm not. But I think that I agree with you. Like I don't agree with the concept of paying your dues. In the sense of, it doesn't matter how good you are, you have to stay with it for a while before you've earned the right to get good scores, but I really feel like there's really almost no way that you could come in with less experience and have the type of skating that would earn you first over people who do. You know what I mean?
I mean, completely agree. And I realize that we're talking about, like, you know, presentation and presence and technical ability, obviously. But, and I know that's not a, it's not a criticism. It's a thing that happens because time tends to be linear. If you're 17 years old, your skating is gonna feel a little junior, and it's because you just came out of juniors. It's just how things work, and I'm not saying it to be critical of her. It's just, it's gonna be interesting 4 years from now if, you know, God willing, she continues skating and is happy with it and injury free and all of that. We're probably gonna see her at another Olympics. It's going to be interesting to see how much her skating will have changed just because she would have had 4 more years to develop, you know, the deeper presence and the expression and, my God, other programs. I know, I feel bad because I keep bitching about her package this year. It'd be so much easier to be like, hell yeah, new kid who's like suddenly, you know, winning things, if I didn't hate both of her programs so deeply. And I do. And I've already talked about that. But I had to say it one last time for the road. She is going to Worlds, so it might not be the last time I say that. But I am so deeply excited to see her develop and grow with this new confidence of being an OBM at 17. With anything else, any other music, watch me eat my words. Watch her have something even more saccharine next year, and I'm like, oh my God, I take it back. But as of right now, anything else, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, I'm not saying she shouldn't have gotten really high scores or that she was overscored. I'm saying more in a general sense that if PCS really did reflect such things as, you know, speed and skating skill quality and all the things we've been saying for years, mm-hmm. I think it would also reflect that sort of maturity of the skating. And in that case, we would see something of, oh, okay, Amina Kai, like, beautiful triple axel, like, she's got this amazing tech score. And then, you know, her presentation is, like, nowhere near calories. And then regardless of who mathed out on top, it would feel like things were taken into consideration.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. And I feel like we can't have this conversation without acknowledging that we're about to get into the senior field in Mao Shimada, who obviously was not at this Olympics because she was still competing as a junior as of, you know, a week ago when she won her fourth consecutive junior championship, world junior champion title, which is, she's the only person to ever do that. And everyone's like, holy shit, it's going to be such a big deal when she enters into seniors. And I feel like it's kind of hard to talk about Dami without knowing that that's coming in as well. And that's another parallel journey that we're going to watch for the next 4, God willing, 8, fucking 12 years if we're lucky.
And not to mention all of her contemporaries, which there are so many who are also unbelievably good, and like many of whom didn't even like that field is still really, really
deep. There's people we might be talking about 4 years from now that we haven't even heard the names of yet. And that's scary and exciting.
Because look at Rinko Watanabe, who just kind of like appeared fully grown from nowhere.
Exactly.
Speaking of Rinko Watanabe, she recently competed at the Coup de Printemps. And I wanted to shout out Monica Wabe, who won the Coup de Printemps after we after we were kind of like, whatever happened to Monica Wabe? She was like, bitch, I'm still here. I'm going to win this shit. I love that for her.
I agree. And all this to say is that there is a very, very deep field, and there's going to continue to be a very deep field, especially with Japan and Japanese women in particular. But I feel like I'm gonna have to be the party pooper a lot for the next like season or two, because I will simply always kind of enjoy an old experienced crone with the just the lived experience of being able to give me expression and depth more than tiny young prodigy who's like, holy shit, we've never seen this before. Because we keep having the thing of, oh my god, we've never seen this before, and it doesn't always go great for people. And to that end, I wish for Ami and for Mao Shimada and for like everyone else we're about to see enter seniors, I kind of am hopeful that we as a fandom and as a community of people who watch this sport don't really, you know, start next season with like, well, here's who's going to win for the next 4 years. Because that tends to jinx people and like put in a pressure and an expectation that I feel might be detrimental, especially to younger athletes, no matter how experienced they already are on an international stage and all of that. So I don't know. I feel like we should find a way to both celebrate young talent that's like super exciting and like near like prodigy level, and also not treat young athletes as like the second coming of skating Jesus, because that might actually impede on their development and their growth and their exciting fun careers that we're excited to watch.
Yeah, and I think like if anything that's going to be more for Mao Shimada as well.
Yeah,
so
maybe she's sitting somewhere being like, I want to like dip my toe in and enter slowly and then wreck everyone in 4 years, and we can't, you know, we can't predict how those things are going to go, as the rest of this podium proved. There is a lot that can happen in 4 years, is what I'm saying. And I'm very excited for Ami. I'm sad for other people. Unfortunately, the podium only has 3 steps, and that's how things shook out. But I really, really hope that she enters next season with, and goes to Worlds in a week, but then enters next season with like the confidence, but also the understanding that this is just the beginning. And that there is a lot to learn still and room to grow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just really curious to see where things go with her. I think to that end of you know, wanting to reward experience, I think that as much as we're still frustrated with the degree to which it's maybe not reflected in the scores, I do think that there's been a lot said already about Kaori Sakamoto's legacy in terms of making all the girls want to skate faster, jump higher, whatever the quote is. It's true. And it's you know, she's really made skating skills and longevity feel like aspirational and attainable, and something that we all need to be working for. So I think she's, while she hasn't completely fixed the sport, she's made a huge, huge, huge impact.
I completely agree.
That's really important, and it's not over because she's doing Worlds and she Alyssa is Liu doing pulled Worlds. Out, so I think we all know what we're all hoping for. But
yeah. So here's the thing: if you're somehow listening to this and you don't know, Kaori ended up getting silver at the Olympics. She was second in the short, second in the free, second overall, which, in the grand scheme of things, is such an achievement. And in my heart of hearts, I'm like, fucking make skating one of those sports where we have 17 disciplines and you can get 17 Olympic medals in one Olympics, so that she could have gotten at least 16 of them. But you're right. I feel like you're right, because regardless of the color of the medal and regardless of her clear disappointment in like the 5 minutes when everything went down, she has left such a legacy and such a mark on the sport. And I genuinely, and this is not like whatever, like loser speak or anything, but I feel like it doesn't matter. I feel like the color of the medal absolutely does not matter. This was her third Olympics. She stepped onto the ice as an icon. She left as an icon. And I feel like every single woman on that entire list of Olympians that she shared this ice with would agree that
her, like, Kari and her style and her impact and her longevity have already, like, affected how we view athletes in this sport. And also, like, so many of the younger girls, the younger women are naming her as, like, an inspiration and a benchmark of how they want their careers to go. And I think that's so important and so much. I'm not gonna say it's worth more than an Olympic gold medal, but I feel like if you could get to pick between piece of hardware and this crazy lasting legacy just in a vacuum, you would probably pick the legacy, I think.
Yeah, and I think, like, I mean, to me, she's such a prime example of, like, she is your favorite figure skater's favorite figure skater.
She is.
She is the one who they all cite as, like, the GOAT, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that I'm going to try to articulate this, but I'm so, like, brain foggy from being sick. So apologies if this comes out insane. I'll edit around it. In order to be your favorite figure skater's favorite figure skater, mm-hmm. or your favorite drag queen's favorite drag queen, mm-hmm. or your favorite whatever's favorite whatever, there's, like, this, it's not, that doesn't just mean you're the best, it means there's this implicit thing of you're not the most popular to the general audience, but to the people who know their shit, you're clearly recognized as the best one. And I think that that's Kaori. I think that she doesn't have, like, necessarily the you know,
no one's gonna, like, wooify her on TikTok edits.
Yeah, it's not, I think, who Alyssa Liu has a certain thing about her, and part of it is her being American and whatever. And her,
she's a lot more accessible. Like, you can get her on the fucking Daily Show. You can get her at the Oscars. I think if anyone who was not American would have won, we would not have had that kind of exposure to them. As totally. A general and audience, because pop culture works differently, and because American pop culture is, for better or worse, you know, worldwide pop culture.
Yeah, and of course, things would have been very different in Japan.
Where we probably would not have seen as much of it.
Yeah,
because Japanese pop culture. Sorry, I keep interrupting. Keep going.
No, it's okay. No, I think there's something about Alyssa, which we'll get to in a little while, that defies expectations of what an Olympic figure skating gold medalist would be or would look like or dress like or live like. And I don't think that Kaori would defy those expectations in the same way, because she's just been so consistently working and working and working and just following more of a traditional path.
Yeah.
And so in that respect, I think that, it makes sense that she's not as necessarily, like, talked about, at least in, like, the American general audience, for people who don't, like, for, like, four-year fans, for example, because she's not an outlier in that way. But the fact that she's so universally recognized by the people who know what they're doing, there's a level of prestige to it, is all
I think saying. If you ask Alyssa, she'll tell you that Kari is the GOAT. And I think that settles any dispute or, like, argument between all of that. Peek behind the curtain. We're not going to talk about Kari too much here and now, because we're just going to do a full episode after Worlds, because God knows we followed her entire senior career so closely, and I feel like we're going to have our time to say goodbye TM episode, which will mostly be me audibly weeping on microphone for, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
What I will say is, even though we're talking about, you know, it's not gold, she was so consistently solid throughout this entire Olympics. She never had, like, a falter that's like, oh my God, we're never going to talk about that one. And honestly, even the, like, combination, the missed combination that, like, may or may not have cost her the gold, we don't know, because that's not how math works. Like, many, many tiny factors would have gone into that. As it was happening, I remember just being like, this is so, like, Kaori core to have, like, just the one tiny thing that, like, makes it slightly imperfect in a way where, okay, so in Bulgaria, in, like, Balkan culture, whenever something has, like, this one tiny, like, imperfection, like, even, like, the teeniest, tiniest thing, you say that it's either for good luck or to, like, to protect you from like evil eyes and like the evil spirits and all of that. So I feel like she always has like the one thing that keeps her goated, but like, you know, a little off from absolute perfection in a way that's like really humanizing and really will make me miss her a lot, because that's how you become the goat, is when you know that there's probably gonna be something that doesn't go exactly to plan, and you're still talked about and you're still on the podium and you're still considered the greatest, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the sum of its parts is what really matters. Oh my god, I'm emotional just thinking about her, and we haven't even said goodbye for the last time yet. My god. Okay. So let's talk about Alyssa. Let's talk about the woman of the hour, the president of Oakland, California, the piercer to the stars that is Alyssa Liu, who has taught us that we've all been mispronouncing all of her names.
Yeah, and
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that.
She said that her friends call her Alyssa, though. So yeah, like, yeah. And we're her friends, clearly.
Oh my god, we're close personal friends. Okay, so we talked about this in the men's episode as well. The Olympics feels like the thing where you want the human interest story. You want like the weird, the exciting, the whatever. It doesn't get better than person who hated the sport came back just for herself, looking like a little old bitch, and won everything. Like, if I were watching a Disney original and there was an edgy, like, punk alternative girl who just, like, does it for the love of the game, and then she wins in the last 5 minutes of the movie, I would be so thrilled that they paid the price of admission. And because of that, I'm completely so thrilled for her. I think it's so earned. And I think if she were the Alyssa 4 years ago and we had somehow seen her become Olympic champion, I would be like, oh man, I don't know about that. She doesn't, you know, really seem happy with it. But the way it happened, it feels like such a perfect little Olympic story, you know?
100%. And I feel like, to get out ahead of, like, you know, anybody who's salty about it, I think that
I feel like we've brought a pretty balanced
take. Yeah, I do. And I think I'll say about her what I said about Misha, which is that I think she was the best on the day. And like, I don't think that anybody, including her, would say that it was flawless or the best skating program ever.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, she was, but it was the best on the day, and it deserved to win on the day. Maybe, or maybe not. I don't know. I'm not a judge, but she did. It's what happened. So I think that it does make an interesting story. And I think What I find really interesting about it, now, of course, having like a month of space and time between her win and now, is that you can't now separate her win from sort of the phenomenon that came after of her becoming such like a household name and a star. And she's so mainstream popular. She's in a way that we really haven't seen a figure skater be in America anyway, in my memory.
I think that's so exciting. Even before she won, like, I think it was before the women's individual events had even started. It will come to no surprise to our listeners that a lot of my friends here in Bulgaria are pretty alternative folk, like in terms of aesthetic, in terms of lifestyle, in terms of whatever. I had people like messaging me like, oh my god, Netta, like, I know you like this sport, and have you seen this girl who's one of us doing the thing? And there's like such a big audience of, I know it's worldwide, but I can talk to you about like alternative and like queer Bulgarian people in their 20s and early 30s who are really, really, really excited to see that mold breaking, you know, character. Because it is like, The athletes we see, it's kind of like, I kind of approach it like pro wrestling or something. We are seeing like an excerpt of who the person is, and we're seeing like the character on the ice. And it's so joyful to me to like, to know that people who may have otherwise kind of, you know, not cared about the sport kind of care now because they see that there is other ways to exist in it, which is not to say that you can be pretty and balletic and quote unquote classical and still be incredible. I'm not saying that because I'm not a stupid boy. I'm not a man and I would never say any of that. But you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
I do. And I think too, like
I think it's fair to be excited at a person with a DIY piercing won the Olympics and at the same time not be like, oh yeah, and this proves that like we should all listen to Pink Panthers and like skate in our torn leg warmers at the Olympics. Like, I'm not saying that again because I'm smarter than men, but yeah.
I also think that what I find really charming about Alyssa is that she represents this alt culture, but then also she doesn't feel like it she doesn't need to feel like it boxes her in.
Oh, absolutely.
And so she'll
not
say shit like, oh, I like figure skating because I want to wear a pretty dress and I want to. So it's not, so she'll be also like fully embracing this more traditional femme, like balletic, whatever side of it. And I really admire that too. I think that's something that, I don't know. I guess I don't know that I was like an alt teen in the same way, but I certainly was like to a degree. Yeah, I don't know. That culture didn't really exist in my school, but like to a certain degree. And I think I think I struggled with that. Like, I think I really did struggle with like there was a part of me that also felt like kind of normal or mainstream. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I wasn't allowed to have that and also be alt. And you know what I mean? I like that she's setting that example as well. It's like such a small thing, but.
Well, can I speak to you about my personal experience as an adult here?
Yeah.
I, as we all know, compete as an adult. Silver one should be back on the ice. Well, I tried to be back on the ice today and the Zamboni was broken. I got all the way to the rink ready for my magnificent return and then it didn't happen. But
oh my God, Netta, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you and tell you what just happened to me.
What happened?
I assume you said the Zamboni was broken. Mm-hmm. The syllable Zam was clipped out for me in my audio and you said
broken.
Something, the Boney was broken and I was like, not again!
No, the Boney is not broken. The Boney is so healed. So anyway, it comes to our listeners as no surprise that I compete as an amateur in categories where there's usually like three of us and it's all for the love of the game and it's all, you know, so fun and so silly. And even then, I, as a pretty alternative looking person in my regular life, I have a bunch of tattoos, I have a nose ring, I wear a big eyeliner or whatever, my hair is weird colors a lot of the time. I have in the past covered all of that up to compete at my adult competitions against like two other people. I think I retweeted the pictures from the competition that's like my profile picture everywhere because I thought I looked so beautiful. Is back when I had big blonde bangs, like the blonde money pieces, slut strands, whatever you want to call them. I went to the drugstore and I purchased dark hairspray because I was like, the judges are not gonna like seeing my weird hair. And I remember that was when my nose piercing was a little bit more recent and it had healed enough that I could switch to a nose ring, but I waited until after competition because I was like, they're not going to want to see a full ring on there. Like a little sparkly little stone is so much more in line with my little costume. And that was like 2 or 3 years ago. And I can tell you right now that if I were to compete in a month, I would not worry about any of that. And my big age of 32 years old, because Alyssa is our Olympic gold medalist.
Hell
doesn't
yeah.
Doesn't that make you feel a thing?
It does. And like, I really love that Alyssa is somebody who I can reference to my students who as an example of somebody who can be the best at the world at something and just do it because she loves it and not go overboard with it or feel like she has to have this completely like controlled, horrible, like micromanaged life where she doesn't get to do anything she wants to do. She's just doing it on her own terms. And
I completely agree. I got to talk to my coach today and she mentioned that she can't really get on board with it. And she was like, I just struggle with it because it looks like she's, you know, messing around, just like joking out there. And I was like, well, yeah, but you know that physically it's impossible for her to be doing what she's doing if she doesn't actually give a shit. And she's just, you know, showing us the joyful part and she's showing us the levity of it. And my coach had to be like, well, yeah, obviously. Like, even if, even for the people who may find it like a little less digestible and, you know, they wish that someone more, you know, traditional would have won or whatever, or like they think that someone who should have been on the podium wasn't on the podium because there's only three steps and she took one of them. Even people who have that kind of reservation and the kind of like hesitation about her can't deny that at the end of the day, she does wake up in the morning, she does go to the rink, she does put in the hours and time and the work. She's just so much more in control and in ownership of how it goes down. And I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation. Honestly, for like, I hope many years to come. Because again, today I spoke to my coach about it and we're talking about like, quote unquote, old school versus more contemporary training practices. And we were talking about how the kind of, you know, traditional aesthetic sport thing of, you know, terrible coaches who are like rude and, you know, everything's really stark and scary and all of that. You know, the stereotype of it, even if we're like doing like the fictional version of it, let's not even talk about real people, but, you know, if I'm making a Disney original, there's gonna be like the rough old coach who's like very old school and like very mean and strict and all of that. My coach was saying that kind of psychology usually works for contemporary kids and teenagers until they're like 12. Mm-hmm. If you try to be that strict with them, because they're so tuned into the world and they see that there's other ways to do it. And I feel like there's going to be such a, I hope and I think that there is going to be a pushback against, you know, that kind, that style of approach when you can counter with, well, look what happens when you actually care and when you actually love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which I think is really, really interesting. And like, I obviously we can't predict the future. Obviously, like I'm probably being a little too naive and too hopeful about it, but imagining, you know, being a 14, 15 year old, I wasn't a skater back then, but I was in, you know, performance arts and all of that. And I feel like if I could have the counter of, well, so-and-so won the Tony and they did it because they cared about it and because they came back to theater because they love it, it would have been such a comeback against like acting teachers and singing teachers and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And I think like to your point of it not working and your coach's point of that really strict, like authoritarian approach not working for kids once they reach sort of like teenager years. I think that that's like in some ways a direct result of the whole like snowflake culture that we, you know, a lot of people will spit on of like our generation being raised with participation trophies and like, oh, self-esteem. And like, there's lots of different ways to learn. And there's, you know, you figure out what's good for you and this individualism. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that for all that, yeah, okay, like there's arguments to be made about whatever. I think that it has put on the radar of younger and younger kids that like introspecting about what actually works for you versus what is presented to you as an option. And if that's not working, like, is there something else you can do? I think that that's really powerful. And I think that you're seeing that both in the way that like parents think, but also in the way that kids think about themselves. They take sort of ownership of things a little bit. They take the ownership of things younger. I mean, even I can only speak about like my anecdotal experience, I guess, as a teacher versus a student. But like, you see a lot of kids who like will say things to you like, you know, oh, I just like it was too much this week. I had like this going on and that going on. And like, it was just way too much. And like, I just couldn't do it. And, you know, whatever. And like, when I was a kid, despite really not having a ton of like horrible, mean figures in my life doing this like scary, intimidating thing to me, I never would have done that. I would have been like, I would have either found a way to do it or I would have lied or I would have like broke down crying because I couldn't do it. I never would have just like.
I completely agree.
You know what I mean? I think that's actually really cool. And
I think we used to like back in like whatever 15 years ago, 15 to 20 years ago when we would have been in middle school into high school, I think we and our culture and like the pop culture we were exposed to glorified a different kind of like hustle and like the juggling everything and constantly being, you know, overwhelmed and like, yes, I will achieve everything, but it's gonna be because I'm on the verge of 17 mental breakdowns. And I don't think it's a bad thing if people learn at a young age that you can. I think Alyssa straight up in one of her many, 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 many interviews was like, if I feel like skipping a practice to be with my friends, I'll do that. Which is not to encourage, you know, like absenteeism and like showing up, you know, once a year and expecting results. But I think something to be said about finding balance and knowing your priorities and knowing that whatever it is that you excel at, whether it's, you know, skating or an instrument or a theater or physics or whatever, it's not going to go away if you step away for one day. Like,
no, and that's the thing that really got me when she was talking about her former coach, Laura What's-Her-Face. How she said that there was this thought that if she ever stopped for one day, she would lose her progress, to which all I could think was, like, how bad of a coach are you that you don't feel confident that, like, I mean.
Imagine if you forgot, like, basic math every time you left math class.
Right, exactly.
Like, every time you enter math class, it's like, okay, so those are the Arabic numerals.
Right, exactly. And, like, the squiggle is a three. It's just insane to me and is not at all, like,
I obviously realistic. Don't have, like, a very direct opinion on her former coach, who also did, like, come out with a big post or, like, a statement somewhere and was, like, she was not a part of her of Alyssa's team when Alyssa quit. And, like, she feels like the narrative is a little, you know, twisted and turned and whatever around there. I don't care personally right now about that. I think you have to kind of trust both yourself as an educator and a coach and the people you're working with to retain things for longer than 24 hours. I think if the only way progress is happening is if you just keep piling on top of things and piling on top of things, it's not really sustainable. And I think we saw that in the fact that Alyssa needed to take some time off and come back and rebuild and build in more sustainable ways.
To a larger degree, too, like if we zoom out, mm-hmm. I think one thing I always kind of think about is that, you know, for all that the culture is like, oh, like you have to achieve like X, Y, Z things at certain age, 30 mm-hmm. under 30, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God.
Part of the reason that that's unrealistic is because those expectations are based on, you know, an economy and a world that doesn't exist anymore. But also yep. part of it is that being you and learning about yourself is something that occurs until you die. And if you live a long life, you know a lot more about yourself at age 99 on your deathbed than you did when you were like 25 and maybe your body worked better or whatever.
I would fucking hope so.
Yeah. And like, I have this conversation like with my mom. It's actually my mom's birthday today. Shout out to my mom. I won't say how old she is, but
she's older than you for sure because she's your mom.
Yeah. And like, in the same way that like, once you reach a certain age, every birthday is like, Jesus Christ, I'm that old. Like she was saying, like, yeah, this one feels weird. I don't think I should be that old. But I really admire my mom because she's still learning things about herself. And hell like, yeah. I think that to that end, I think part of the reason that this is working so well for Alyssa is not just like the magic of the absence of oppression. It's not just the absence of you can't eat and you have to come on the days that you don't want to come. And it's like, yes, there's that freedom. But I think it's also like, I think I got to give Alyssa some credit because she's also very actively deciding and designing her own training process. And who's going to know what she needs to learn and to retain and to get better than her? Like she's got that age experience, that life experience now to know how she learns and how she retains things. And like, she's now actively designing her process around what she knows she needs and like accommodating herself in that way. And so like, of course she's going to be doing better.
Absolutely. And also I think this all kind of wraps up the idea and the image of Alyssa as she's kind of full of contradictions in a way that like makes her so exciting and which definitely has contributed to her like mainstream fame and to her being, you know, at the red carpet at the Oscars and like whatever, is because it's this testament to taking care of your own success and knowing what works for you, but showing up and doing the work because it would never work if it was just like, oh yeah, she's punk rock and she's cool and like she shows up and does whatever, because it's that, but it's also her own discipline and her own ownership of her training process, of her mental health, of her appearance, of like all of that. And I think to the point of thinking about young people and what kind of role model or example she is, which, first of all, I don't think anyone should be a role model for anyone. I think that puts a burden on living human beings in a way that kind of stresses me out. But I think it's cool. Like, I imagine if I were, you know, 15 and kind of alternative looking and also a bit of an overachiever, it'd be very cool to see someone who can balance those different facets of themselves without making any one of them be the box and just kind of existing as this 3D full figure, even as a character, even if as like, you know, the pro wrestler Alyssa, who is not the human, because we don't know the human because we've never met her. I think it's really awesome for young people to see someone who looks like they're just, you know, doing it for shits and giggles and like having fun with it and, you know, being silly and like girly pop and all of that, and knowing that there's so much hard work and dedication and ownership that goes behind that. I think that balance is so fun and inspirational, and I think it's something that I'm like really like moved by and like motivated by, even in my old decrepit near Evan Bates age of 32.
Oh my god, don't say that. I just turned 36. Wait, okay, but can I also say, like, real quick, she caught a lot of heat for like the whole, like, I think it kind of like was taken out of context, the idea of like, my dad doesn't deserve to be happy about me coming back or whatever. And like, I totally understood what she meant. Totally get what she means, because like, you're, regardless of how,
I can't even think about her dad, because that's like such a can of worms. Like, I can't.
I know. And I'm not even here to comment on that, but like, regardless of how like eccentric or involved or over involved perhaps a parent is, like, mm-hmm. they do get, you know, sometimes they get really invested in what you're doing. And I think it doesn't even have to be a journey like Alyssa's of like, I was once a prodigy and I was once great at this, and then I was what, you know, and then I took it. It's like, doesn't have to be that specific. I think I really relate to the concept of having something be so personal and mm-hmm. fraught to you, and have been a journey that you went on with yourself, and it felt so intensely personal. And then, of course, as you put that into action in your real life, other people have opinions about it. Maybe, and your parents are people who feel so, you know, correctly, like, close to you and entitled to share things with you, because they do in many ways. But like, it can feel intrusive sometimes when you've spent so long agonizing over something inside of yourself as like a very personal thing, and then all of a sudden other people are involved and have opinions on it. You know, that, I don't know, for some reason I totally relate to that feeling of like,
no, I completely understand it as well.
Yeah, yeah. So like, I know what you meant, Alyssa. I'm your friend and I can call you Alyssa.
I think people really badly want her, and it does. It's not just her. This is like, it goes to every single public figure, every single quote unquote celebrity that we have. I think people really badly want people to just be one thing. And the second that outward image wobbles even slightly and they say something that's not even bad, it's not even controversial, it's just like not what you imagined in your head they would say, you're like, well, wait a minute, you're not supposed to like behave like that. That's not what you said in the fanfiction version that I have of you in my head. And I think that's the kind of thing that's, it's so exciting to have people like Alyssa in the public eye, to the extent that they want to be, and to the extent where it doesn't feel intrusive and terrible. Because I think she can teach us a lot about how we perceive any public figure, any celebrity, regardless of if they're an athlete or an actor or a musician or anything, because there's something so humanizing and so fun and so interesting about someone who's so openly so multifaceted and owns it so much. And I think that's just really interesting. I also think it's really cool that she's gotten like pop stars and stuff to even so briefly care about our very niche sport. I think the bridging of those gaps is of those like differences in pop culture is so exciting and so fun.
You know what I think about a lot? I think about the video of Zara Larsson watching her do Stateside and Zara like tearing up and getting emotional because she's like, it's so emotional to see somebody do something that they're so clearly born to do and like doing the exact thing that they were meant to do.
Yeah, no. And I also think, like, I keep going back to like the Disney Channel image of a figure skater, of like that, you know, Ice Princess, like that kind of image that we at some point all grew up with, like at some point we all internalized. Imagine being Zara Larsson, who is a pop girly, who's for the girls, the gays, and the days. Like, she's doing her own thing. Imagine then that coinciding with your music is the background of this completely different thing that's a completely other track. That's like, yes, you're doing, you know, arena shows and tours and like whatever, which feels so far removed from the like high pressure world of aesthetic sports or whatever, the epic highs and lows of Olympic figure skating. For some reason, I can imagine that that would be very emotional as well. I know some musicians are assholes and they complain when you use their music, but I feel like Zara and like Pink Panthers and like fucking Madonna reaching out to Amber Glenn, like, oh my God. Feel like those are the icons. Like, I think those intersections of pop culture and of like different facets of it are so, so exciting. And I think it's really cute. And I think if there's five girly pops who really like Pink Panthers and then like happen to go to some open skate because she shared a thing of Alyssa, I think that's banger. And fucking Lofi, I can't believe we haven't mentioned the patient zero of musicians who are fans of Alyssa.
Like, I know. Is it Leve? I feel like
she says it. It's Leve, I think.
Oh, she says it a bunch of like times. Correctly. Okay, I don't fucking know.
I'm about to pull up a video of her saying it. Lofi pronunciation.
And there's no T in my name, and I'm like, whatever, but like it's like, but like, it's yes, in your head. Leve.
Like,
I want to get it right so badly.
Honestly, like, Leve is the easiest. Like, that's
how that's how I've been saying it, is Leve.
I mean, it's like Bjork and Björk, right? Everyone calls her Bjork, but her Iceland, her name is Björk.
Kelly looks shook.
It's pronounced Björk. One more time.
Leve.
Leve. Okay, we're getting Leve B-roll for editing purposes. Leve.
Speaking of pop stars reaching out to people, I do want to circle back and give Amber some attention on here.
I would circle back and give Amber some attention on here any day of the week.
Okay, first of all, absolutely fucking robbed for the sportsmanship award thing.
Yep.
Absolutely. She was the
Don't
only one.
Don't fucking get me started. My God. She was shielding Kari from paparazzi.
She was the only one who actually, in my opinion, deserves to be nominated. Like, I love you, Yuma, and, like, I think that what you did was nice, Ilya, but I don't even think that the two of them should have been nominated alongside her.
Excited for your friend is different than sportsmanship for your fellow athletes.
I think congratulating a competitor is minimum. I think that going out of your way to physically insert yourself between a competitor and someone who is upsetting them after you're both disappointed, like, I think that's actually like above and beyond in a way the others aren't.
And also, speaking of Amber, she ended up off the podium. She was fifth overall. She was third in the free with the redemption skate of all time. She had a very disappointing short, which we're never going to talk about. I don't want to talk about it. But
I actually sort of blame Madonna. I think Madonna cursed her. I love you, Madonna, but like, I don't know.
I you know what? If Madonna put a curse on Amber Glenn is what we're going with, I'm here for it. I respect it. She could have cursed so many other people who are using her music this Olympic cycle, and yet, don't talk to me about Ice Dance. Never talk to me about Ice Dance. What I was going to say is, because Amber had that majestic rise from 13th into 3rd in the free, she spent a very long time in the leader chair, and we saw her actively on her feet for people, like encouraging the crowd to support people, reacting to every single moment that was unfolding before her eyes for a significant chunk of the free skate. And then to top that off with her genuine excitement for her fellow competitors and, you know, her putting herself between a photographer, Vulture, and Kari when Kari was feeling her feelings for a split second, which is so human. I think across sports, and I will say that because I watch so much curling, I think across sports at this Olympics, this is the person who deserved that, frankly meaningless, but that award more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel very, very strongly about it. And I feel like everyone knew she was robbed. And maybe we can't fix, you know, having a shaky skate. Like, that's a thing that happens. But I feel like we get to be mad and say that it was fixed and say that she was robbed for a thing that was dependent on, you know, people on the internet botting a form that you vote on.
Yeah. And I think also I want to shout her out for the whole like period gate thing.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, people will just, anytime you say anything about a period, people will just be like, oh, are you using it as an excuse? And it's like, this is like not the point. The point is that she's saying that she's like, sometimes
she didn't even blame like her physical performance on it. She was like, I cried more because that was on my period.
Yeah. And also because it's like, and also sidebar, isn't it like weird that we have to do fucking fan spirals with like a 1-inch strip of fabric across our crotch while we're like bleeding? That's scary. I don't like that. And if you don't think for a second that's exactly what you know what I mean? Like, I just, whether or not you've ever had a period, like, you have to at least have a brain enough to know that, yeah, that would be a little intimidating. Like, don't pretend would be fine with it.
I've competed on my period. I've competed very few times, but one of them has happened to be on my period. And I will tell you right now, I was worried about spotting and showing the whole fucking time. Because even though you're wearing, yes, you're wearing a couple of layers of, like, tights and leotard and all of that, you never know how things are gonna happen. I have had to tell teammates very gently that they should probably go tie something around their waist mid-practice. Like, that's a thing that happens. It's a thing that when you have ovaries and a vagina sometimes happens. And those should not be things that are scandalizing us in the big year 2026.
Yes, and my personal experience of it, I actually sent Amber a message, which I'm sure she didn't have the time to respond to because she got 1,000 messages. I sent her a message and I was just like, thank you for talking about this because, like, I suffer from PMDD, which is like, which if you don't know is, what is it?
The devil.
It's the devil. It's like PMS, but like make it actual like mental illness.
PMS,
depression.
But you want to kill yourself for a week.
Yeah. And like, it's so bad that it really like messes with any other medication that you're like your ability to like absorb any other medication that you're taking for any other reason, physical or mental. It completely throws off your life. And also there's an aspect to it where the entire time you're like, surely I'm just making this up, right? Because of like society. It really throws off your ability to function. And you don't see it talked about, even though it's a chronic illness that if you have a short cycle happens like more than once a month. And it really does suck, and I can't imagine doing something so out of the ordinary like going to the Olympics and dealing with that when it's hard, when it makes life hard even when you just have a regular job, you know?
Yeah. I do want to bring up that this is not even a conversation this is not the first time we've talked about this. In the 2016 Summer Olympics, there was a Chinese swimmer, Yuan Hui Fu, is how I'm going to choose to pronounce this, and I apologize, who also, she had like, it was because of her that the Chinese team came forth in like the swimming relay, and she very candidly was like, oh yeah, it's because I had my period. That's like the first thing she said in an interview, and that was 10 fucking years ago, and we're still having this conversation. But I remember back then when she said that, granted that was more of, you know, a different time in online feminism, and we were all, you know, it was a lot of, you know, girls just want to have fun, the mental human rights type feminism. But even then, people are like, oh my God, how could she talk about this? Like, this is such a taboo thing. But I will say, if I had a nickel for every time an Olympic athlete has acknowledged that they were on their period and that made performing at the Olympics harder than it should be, I would have 2 nickels, and I'm sure it's happened to way, 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 way more people just because of how months work, you know?
Yeah, I want to say also that it's hypocritical for us not to acknowledge that, because if we care about, I mean, if we care about doping in general because it is considered like unfair to manipulate,
to bump up your performance.
Yeah, it's considered unfair to manipulate the levels of hormones and different chemicals in your body to change your performance. If we acknowledge that that has an effect and can happen, then it's kind of also ridiculous to acknowledge that when those fluctuations occur naturally, that that just to say that that doesn't have an effect would be stupid, because we've already acknowledged that those are factors that affect you to the point where there's regulations about introducing them deliberately externally. So you have to acknowledge that those factors internally are going to affect.
And obviously it's different for different people. A lot of people who have periods like barely feel it, like, and sometimes like it could be way worse than it's been in months and months and months. Travel affects that shit. Like,
it does.
I would assume sometimes, like, if I've traveled, if I've had like a long international flight, things will be kind of wobbly the next month. Like,
yeah, and if you're on any sort of birth control or anything like that, the timing also affects it. And so if you do like a lot of changing of time zones, that also is like a factor.
So there's a lot, and none of it is an excuse, and none of it is whatever. I just think it's ballsy. Oh my god, and there you go. Like, I just think it's cunty. Cool. It's cunt. I think it's cunt to be honest about it, to be candid about it, but then to circle back and be like, no, don't tell people that I underperformed because of my period. That's not what I was saying. I think that's also very cool that she did that, because it could have been so easy for, you know, everyone to be like, oh, sweet angel baby, she had cramps and she couldn't jump because she had cramps. And I think it's very bowler of her to be like, no, I skated the way I skated because I skated that way. I just cried because of hormones and emotions.
Yeah, you know what else I loved, too, is that she said, related to, I think, something else, but she at one point, like, released a statement that was like, yes, I'm an advocate for mental health and I speak a lot about my struggles with it. Not everything about me or that I say or do is about my mental health. Sometimes it's just like regular everyday stuff. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Because that's the problem, is that if you come out as somebody, and even on a really small scale, just among your friends and family, as somebody who's like, I openly struggle with mental health stuff.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, that's in some ways the first thing people will associate with you, or if they think Megan's having a hard time, they're gonna think like, oh, Megan's having a hard time. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm using myself as an example, completely. Obviously, but like, it's like not always that. And it's sometimes it's like, you don't want people to go there always immediately. It's not always
something
that
I know figure skating Twitter is and figure skating internet. And I will admit that I have been responsible for in the past. Something that I'm guilty of is with Amber, because she's been so outspoken about her mental health and her ADHD and stuff, I have seen it happen less, which is awesome. But there was a period of time where people tried to judge, like, her expression during a 6-minute warm-up.
There was a period of time?
Oh my god, there was a period. There was, like, a significant amount of time where people would be like, oh, she doesn't look focused today. Or, oh, she looks like she has panic eyes and stuff. And it's like, you don't fucking know her. You don't know what's happening behind that eyeliner. Like, we don't get to do that. And I agree with you so much that it's kind of weird the way that, yes, you want to be an advocate. Yes, you want to be outspoken about those things so that it can stop being like a weird, you know, niche conversation. And at the same time, the second you speak out about something like that, the second you have, like, even the slightest, you know, wobble, it's like, well, let's all, like, send her really positive, beautiful Pinterest memes so that she doesn't, you know, get really, really sad in her hotel room. It's like, that's babying. That's infantilizing a person who I'm sure has the support system and the techniques and the mental health training to take care of themselves in a way where you don't feel like they're volatile the second that something doesn't go exactly as planned.
Yeah, there's something I think very frustrating about the experience of, like, I can't really say for sure, but I imagine there's something really frustrating about the experience of coming out and saying, hey, it's normal to be this thing because I'm a normal person and I'm this thing. And then as a result of that, people start treating you abnormally.
Yeah, I find it very frustrating that there is no world in which you could be like, here's the things I'm struggling with, and then not have people assume that everything that you've ever done is a result of that, or like a direct side effect of how you are. And I think it's really baller that she keeps circling back and like clarifying that shit.
Yeah, and I think that that frustration can exist alongside gratitude that people care and want.
Of course.
Because, and I think that's the other frustrating thing, is that if you ever express that frustration, there's a sense of like, oh, well, other people are just trying to be nice to you. Like, what is the problem here?
No, but like, I'm thinking like in my personal experience, for example, like if I've had a slightly nervier performance, for example, like as a drag artist, like sometimes I'll get like really, really stressed out and like really scared before I go on stage, just because like adrenaline and excitement and like stage fright and whatever, like normal human emotions. And I've had people like really, really well-meaningly approach me backstage and just be like, it's okay. Like I have whatever, like fast acting anti-anxiety medicine with me. Like, do you need any of that? Like, it's okay. Yes, queen, mental health. And sometimes it's like, no. I'm just experiencing human emotion because I'm human and emotion is happening. It doesn't immediately need the yes, queen, like, approach to it. It's frustrating because you always know people are well-meaning, and because of the way my brain works, hi, welcome to my terrible compulsive thought spirals, the second people start treating me like that, the second someone's like no, or like if something like didn't go exactly to plan and they're like no, it was actually so good and like you did your best and well, yes queen, I start doubting myself and being like, should I be upset? Should I be feeling worse? You're treating me as if a disaster happened. Am I so out of touch and like bad with reading people's cues that I didn't know the disaster happened? Is this worse than I thought it was?
And that's also a lot.
Right? Like it sometimes just being like, yo, good job. You went out and you did your best is as far as you should go with people. If they're not like actively reaching out for your support and being like, hey, I'm having a really rough time. But this is to say that I think whether she likes it or not, Amber is like a trailblazer, torchbearer of like the slightly more uncomfortable conversations that we should be mature enough to just have in this sport and in like sports and like popular culture in general. Like, I think, here's my radical opinion. I think two Olympic cycles from now, if someone comes off the ice and is like, yeah, I had cramps from fucking hell today and like that made my loop harder, I wanted to not even make the news.
Because if you said my boots hurt, that's normal.
Yeah, if it's like, oh yeah, like I fell on a spin last week and my elbow feels a little weird, fucking USA Today would not be posting like a think piece about it. Like,
God, if every time Junwon Cha had a boot problem, which, like, you know, God rest his world performance.
God rest his
as he has just pulled out of Worlds. But I'm just saying, like, that's, you know, that's an equipment problem, but it's not an excuse when you mention it. It's
exactly.
Like,
I know that I've rolled up to skate practice so many times, being like, yo, I'm taking it slightly easier today because I have cramps, but I showed up anyway. And because my coaches were not raised in a monastery, they don't say, holy shit, how dare you mention that. They say, yeah, okay. And that's it. End of fucking conversation.
I think, though, to your point of Amber, like, being the one who is pioneering the difficult conversations, I think that it's really nice that we have both Amber and Alyssa in the public eye. Because they have completely different approaches and kind of different areas of what they're almost like advocating for, speaking for, or representing.
But they're both like unpacking the like image of like figurine, right?
Yeah, they are, which is why I think it's okay to, you know, for anybody who's like, oh, well, what about like Alyssa's queerness and why is Amber the one? And it's like, I feel like they have...
First of all, leave Alyssa alone. She has not said anything publicly.
Yeah, Madison Jock might have, but...
Well, Maddie knows her personally.
Yeah.
We all remember the time when she was a they-she grocery store on Instagram, but we're not going to bring it up because we're not her personal friends and we don't get to do that.
Yeah, people get to talk about what they decide they want to talk about. Athletes get to decide
Stop
what their public platform
out
is.
Of the closet when they're not ready to talk about it publicly.
Or
then
whatever,
they do
yeah.
and you're freaks about it. Stop.
Yeah. So I think that, but to that point, like, I think that it seems very deliberate and it seems very, like, harmonious to have the two of them have sort of their lanes. And I love that Amber as a person has allowed her to reach the level of fame and notoriety even more so than her amazing talent, because that feels like notable. And I think that it's also, I feel like there's a parallel world in which Ilya didn't choke and did exactly as well as we thought he was going to be. And then it was all Quad God. And Alyssa ended up, I feel as though Alyssa ended up stepping into whatever media cycle was probably prepared for Ilya. And
it would have always been more interesting with her, though, because what the fuck is he going to say? He's going to say, yes, my parents were Olympians. Yes, I've been doing this my entire life. Yes, this was always going to be the outcome.
Yeah. And I think that that's, I think there's a parallel world where that happened and it was not nearly as interesting. And I don't know that it gained as much public traction.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how it worked out in such a way. And I'm not saying it worked out the way it should or whatever, because, like, it's not for me to say, but it did work out in such a way that figure skating is now on the map in a way that I'm not sure it would have been. And maybe it would have been, but I don't know that he had the right, persona access Hollywood levels mainstream, you know, if that's even a thing.
Circling back to, like, what would have happened if Kaori won OGM, I think it's in a way similar to what would have happened to, like, American pop culture had Ilya won in the men's field. It'd be weird if he won in the women's. Is that it just would have been the more, it's more of a trajectory that you expect. It's more of a traditional, you know, I've been working towards this my entire life. I've never once stopped. My parents were this. I've always, like, done this. In a way where I think people would be like, oh, cool. Like, he would have probably, you know, showed up at an Oscars after party with his medal. And we would be like, oh my God, cool. Like, an Olympian is here. But it wouldn't be, like, the story that Alyssa is, just because there's not as much of an outlier thing there.
Exactly.
And I don't, my God, I hope to God we don't, I want every single skater to be a full person and I want them to show us as much or as little of that as they care to, because at the end of the day, the sport is not about, you know, the interviews you give and, like, the appearance that you have. But I'm excited to see how we thread the line between people feel more inclined to be, you know, their own individual people and, like, show us more of that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many people who don't, and this is, I'm talking about a fictional person here, so, like, don't get on my case. I'm excited to see how many people who really don't have that much of a Access Hollywood worthy arc reach for the metaphorically eyeliner and the hair bleach and the whatever in a pursuit of recreating the spark.
Ooh,
I think
that's
just
going to
be interesting, right? Right.
Yeah.
Like, there's two sides of the coin. Like, there is a lot of old kids or, like, whatever, like, queer kids who are going to be like, oh my God, I get to be whoever I want to be and then still perform and, like, compete. Awesome. But I bet you there's someone who's like, yeah, fuck it, I'll dye my hair pink if it's gonna work. R.I.P. Roman Sadowski's retirement arc, I guess.
Yeah, to which I say, like, bring it on. I love it. I love pink hair.
Yeah.
Everybody do what you want to do. Even if it's for the wrong reasons. I don't care.
everyone get more alternative now. I welcome the woke agenda.
Being straight is now illegal.
Mandatory. This has been an episode, guys. And this is the end of our official main feed coverage of the 2026 Olympics. I will miss Tina and Milo and the Milano Cortina Olympics more than I expected.
Yeah. Really, yeah. Tina and Milo, for me, are, like, the true winners.
Tina is the winner of everything. And I'm glad that she got to hang out around so many medals. In a way, if you're baby Bjorn into the medal, are you wearing the medal?
Yeah. Or is the medal wearing you?
Hey, Megan, do you want to hit me with a list of people who I would wear around my Olympic medal, like a Tina and a baby Bjorn?
Yes. The following.
If I were ever able to do that, meaning our Patreon supporters who enable us to do all of this in your ears.
Yeah, the following people are all in the metaphorical baby Bjorn. Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, and Jordan. Thank you all so much.
Thank you guys so much, and a very special shout out to our good, good friend Jordan, who skated on that Olympic ice like an absolute rock star.
And I know, got all this like recognition, and we were like,
he got fan cams and like thirst trap edits now. And one day when he's rested, we're gonna get him back on the show so he can tell us all about that. Thank you guys so much. We'll be back with world coverage on the Hell app, and then back here in about a week. And in the meantime, go have a hyphy burger and give yourself a piercing in your own bedroom.
Do it.
Love you. Bye.
Love you.